Our lesson tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 17 to chapter 39, verse 29. God's judgment of God completed for his glory. One of the most intriguing and misunderstood prophecies in Scripture is the invasion of Israel by a country known as Gog, quote unquote. So we view Ezekiel 38, 17 to 39, 29, the prophecy of the completion of God's judgment against Gog, to understand God's purpose in performing this great and dramatic punishment for our insight and for our edification. I'd like to read the passage. It's a bit long, but I'll move right along here before we get into it. Ezekiel 38, beginning to verse 17 and going through the end of chapter 39. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come up against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking or quaking in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with disease and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am the Lord. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every kind, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Excuse me. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of the people of Israel. I will not let them pollute my name any more, and the Gentiles shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. That is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, the shields and the bucklers, the bows, the arrows, the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire for 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any of the forests. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in the Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown in the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. The passengers that pass through the land, when any seeth a man's bone, then shall set up a sign by it until the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And thou, son of man, thus shalt, saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves. Come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat until you be full and drink blood until you be drunken of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled with my table, with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the Gentiles, and all the Gentiles shall see my judgment that I have executed, my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. And the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, for they trespassed against me. Therefore I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of the enemy, so that they fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After that they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land and none made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the Gentiles. But I have gathered them into their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. All right, very dramatic. God will defeat Gog, and we know that's Russia with her allies, when they invade Israel in a very great and a very dramatic judgment. When Gog and her allies invade Israel, God will rhetorically ask if she was the one about whom he had predicted through his prophets of antiquity that he would bring against Israel. Now, it's interesting that no specific prophecy about Gog's invasion occurs in Scripture except this prediction here in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. But the Lord mentioned prophets, plural. So he may refer to general predictions about his deliverance of Israel from Gentile invaders in passages like Joel chapter 3, verses 9 to 14, and Zephaniah 3, 15 to 20. Those passages deal in a very general sense about God's deliverance from the Gentiles who surround Israel. And maybe that passage deals with whenever that happens. But anyway, God says that there are prophets involved to do this. Now, it's interesting, not all the prophets' prophecies are in Scripture. We find the names of some prophets that didn't write Scripture, or at least didn't write passages of Scripture that we have, scattered here and there throughout the books of Kings and Chronicles. So there probably were a lot of prophets. One was a prophetess by the name of Huldah. Remember Josiah went and found out from her what the Lord wanted. So God will be aroused in great fury over Gog's invasion, expressing his anger in a great earthquake that will shake all life forms on the earth and in the sea and upset the landscape. It's interesting, all the little bugs and every creeping creature on the earth, the land animals, the fish will be moved by this tremendous earthquake, and the mountains will shake and be, you know, geography is going to be dramatically changed in Palestine. The Lord will cause the invaders to slay one another. And in other words, he will strike them with a form of insanity. And God did this in a couple of battles in the Old Testament. He would cause the enemies to start killing one another off. Then he will kill them with disease, a great rain, hailstones and burning sulfur, magnifying himself as the cause for this destruction. Now, God has used hailstones to destroy, I think, the Philistines in Samuel's day. Sulfur he used against Sodom and Gomorrah, but God here is going to be using hailstones and sulfur and rain. So it's going to be everything. He's cutting loose. Now, and it will be absolutely obvious to everybody in the world that God's doing this, because no one but God would be bringing all these things down. Well, God had Ezekiel predict that he was against Gog, causing her to invade Israel and lose 5/6 of its army, for them to fall upon the mountains of Israel and have her forces destroyed as far as the distant coastlands from which the invaders had come. In fact, Dr. Ryrie in his footnote says the invaders' homelands will also be destroyed. There won't be anything to go back to. So the wrath of God is going to be absolutely horrendously unleashed. In other words, Russia will be destroyed, and these other nations that are joined her, their homelands will be destroyed too. The result of God's destruction of Gog will be his causing Israel to spoil those who spoiled her. The people of Israel will go out to the battlefield and burn the weapons of the invaders, burning them for 7 years in place of firewood from their forests, spoiling those who had spoiled them. I remember listening to Dr. Jack Van Impe. He was an evangelist who came to our town in Chico, California years ago, and he was preaching on this passage in one of his services. And it was his belief that this battle will occur in the latter times, but the reason there's so many wooden items to be destroyed is that they're going to try to avoid radar. I don't know how true that is, but anyway, that was his feeling. And that's why they're coming in horses and these types of weapons. One of the largest cavalries in the world, or Russia, they got gobs of horses up there. So it would make sense that they would use horses to invade. Then a valley east of the Dead Sea will be a burial plot for the dead, and there will be so many corpses that they will clog the valley, causing it to be named the Valley of Hordes of Gog. It will take Israel 7 months to bury the dead, setting up an extensive system to do so, and the extent of Israel's victory over Gog will be so great that the Gentiles will highly honor Israel. The whole world will see the effects of this judgment that God has produced, and they'll be stunned, recognizing that the God of the Old Testament is not some mythical feature. He's around. He didn't go away. He's still there. And so they're going to, you know, everybody's going to be afraid to go against Israel at this particular point, except the Antichrist, who's going to try it, because the Antichrist's desire is to destroy God. Well, Ezekiel wrote that the Gentiles will behold God's great destruction of the hordes and realize that Israel had gone into captivity, not due to any weakness on her God, but for Israel's sin. That's going to correct a big, long error that has existed ever since liberal theology has denied the validity of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. There's been a feeling that the God of the Old Testament, you know, is just mythical, it's not around. But when this happens, when this event happens, it's going to erase all doubt. And everybody's going to say, nah, he's around. He's still around. Indeed, the Gentile nations will realize that Israel fell before her enemies throughout history only as punishment for Israel's own sins against her great Lord and God. Everybody's going to suddenly understand biblical history. The reason the Jews had been mistreated and suffered so much is because God had allowed them to be suffering because they had rejected the Lord because of sin. But when God turns and comes back to bless Israel, whew, that's going to be a shock to the whole world. It'll be a shock to Israel too. But God is going to bless, and he is bent on fulfilling his will in regards to the Abrahamic covenant. Also, Israel will then turn back to God, recognizing him as her God. The Lord predicted that he would bring Israel back to her land out of her dispersion among the Gentiles to uphold the honor of his name and fulfilling his promises to bless her in the latter days. Israel will then know that he's God, that he'd caused her to go into captivity among the nations due to her sin, but that he was restoring her, not leaving any of her people in Gentile lands. In fact, it's interesting here. The Lord says that that he would bring them back. I'm going to look here at chapter 39 here. In verse 28, but I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them any more there. In other words, you're not going to have Jews left in Gentile territories anymore. They're all going to be back into Israel. God is going to really gather them. And in this regathering, God will no longer hide his face from Israel in punishment, but bless her, pouring out his Holy Spirit upon her. That's what verse 29 says. And I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and will be known in the eyes of many nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. That's verse 23. But 29, neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my Spirit upon them, the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Hiding the face. Remember the benediction of the high priest? The benediction is, may the Lord's face shine upon you, which is a sign of favor. So God's not going to hide his face. He's not going to be withholding his favor anymore. He's going to be favoring his people very, very much. And of course, this event clearly occurs in the end time, according to Joel chapter 2, 28 to 32. Because at that particular time, there are going to be signs in the heavens, the sun and the moon, you know, big signs that will occur there. And that will occur, obviously, at the end time. So the lesson is when God punishes Gog, or Russia, and her allies, forcibly drawing them down into the land of Israel to destroy their forces in a vast display of raw divine power, he will glorify himself before the whole world. He will cause Israel to be highly honored and reveal to the Gentiles in Israel that her lack of blessing for so many centuries was the result of God's judgment for sin, but that he was forgiving, restoring, and greatly blessing Israel in her own land. Application, may we realize that the Jewish people have suffered so much due to sin, not due to any weakness on God's part, and thus learn to depart from sin ourselves. We can learn from the history of what has happened to Israel. Don't sin. It's too costly. The discipline of God is too great. And then second, may we rejoice in God's infinite love and faithfulness toward his people and his desire to bless them, be they Hebrews who trust in Jesus Christ or we Gentiles who believe in him. Everyone who believes in Christ will be of the people of God. Jews who believe in Christ, Gentiles believing in Christ are going to have saved Israel, going to have the saved church. Being premillennial and pre-tribulational and dispensational, I believe that Israel and the church are distinctly unique in different groups, but they are groups within the household of God, and that's going to be a tremendous thing. You know, it's interesting, the love of God and the faithfulness of God for his people. The last 6 days, I've either been in conversation with heard believers discuss their tremendous need for Bible information due to issues that they're facing. And Dr. Dwight Pentecost, before I came here, told us that he'd ministered many times in New England and around the world. And it was his impression, he said, that the Lord's sending you down there to do a real good work. But he said the people in New England particularly, there's a lot of oppression there because of angelic conflict issues, and there are great needs, and the people, the flock of God needs encouragement and needs nurture. And God, and he's convincing me more and more, he loves all people. He loves people in New England, and he's very concerned that the people of New England come to know the Lord, and believers in New England serve the Lord and live for the Lord, and that he ministered to them. So God is a gracious God. He's a faithful God. He will severely punish sin, no question about it. But he loves his people. And if his people repent of their sin, confess their sin, then God will abundantly pardon and bless them.